Want to know what successful people are doing with their money to create wealth and use it consciously for the greater good? Welcome back to Wealth Unplugged, the weekly podcast that gives you diamond tips on creating conscious wealth from change makers, world shakers, and wealth creators. Now here's your host, Barbara Turley.
Hi there, and welcome to another week of Wealth Unplugged. Thanks so much for joining me. You know, I really appreciate your time every week, and I hope you're starting to get some really good key takeouts from this Wealth Unplugged series and podcast that I'm doing. You know, I got an email the other day from a woman. I hope you're listening, Chrissy. And she said she'd been out walking with her dog and she'd been listening to some of my podcasts. So I think that's a great one. I always say to people, this is a short podcast, usually 10 to 15 minutes long. So you can get it in while you're doing the shopping or feeding the baby or out for a walk with your dog. What a great idea. So basically, for any newbies out there, this is the show where I take my key takeouts that I pick up from the guests I'm interviewing every week on my Feminine Wealth TV show, which is an online TV show that I also do every week. And I basically sit down and I take the key things that I learned in the week from my guests, and I talk about it here on the podcast. So it's a quick way for you to get some good strategies that you can implement really quickly in your life. So I had such a great week this week. I've been playing around with the show, the Feminine Wealth TV show, and I've been trying to interview more guests who are actually offshore, who are not here in Australia where I'm based. And, you know, that presents its challenges. There's obviously technology issues and all this sort of stuff to deal with. But I had my second show with a guest who is based in Rome, in Italy. And she is an amazing, gorgeous, you know, inspiring Italian woman. And she's as sexy and sassy and feminine as, you know, all Italian women are. And it was great having her on the show because she basically runs 7 different companies on 5 different continents. And she has driven all of them collectively to $30 million in success. So I just was dying to get her on the show. That lady is called Alessia Marini. And she's a leadership coach and consultant now. And her company is called Women in Power. So she teaches women how to step into their feminine power and really own it, which I just absolutely loved because, you know, the whole word power and the concept of power, such a masculine thing. But Alessia brings this, you know, feminine, beautiful energy to it. And it's just, it's exciting and electric to be around. So I got her on the show. And of course, I was dying to ask her, you know, what is the $30 million formula for success with all these companies? And how do you do it? But while still maintaining your sanity, your femininity, and your, you know, your peace of mind and your calm, I guess, and staying close to core. So, you know, the first key takeout I really took from Alessia, and I have to say, I learned a lot on the show from Alessia. I loved having her on there. But the first one was this whole belief that we have in society, and I think all of us women have it, that even if we're not conscious of it, we feel that you need to act like a man to succeed in business. And what's really starting to happen is that lots of us as women, we're going into business, either in corporate or in our own businesses, and we're acting like we're feeling like we have to be a man of a woman in order to succeed. So I think two things are happening here. Number one, in the corporate world, women are becoming kind of very masculine to try and climb the corporate ladder. Now, I was in the corporate world for a long time, so I know exactly what this type of persona is. You know, you feel like you have to be strong and upstanding and in very masculine ways to actually achieve and to be seen as a leader. I think similarly, something kind of the opposite's happening in the entrepreneurial world from what I've seen so far anyway. Women out there, all you girls are, you know, some people are leaving the corporate world to start their own businesses just because they don't want to be in that rat race fight anymore. But we're kind of going the other direction in that we're sort of playing really, really small and saying, well, I just want to have a small business that allows me to be myself, allows me to be authentic and true to who I am. Because again, we equate big global institutional type businesses with very masculine energy. So Alessia's story on this and how she sort of came this conclusion herself, very, very interesting. She comes from a really entrepreneurial family where her parents worked together actually, and her mother and father ran a very, very successful travel company in Italy. And unfortunately, at one stage, probably 10 or so years ago, her father became quite sick. And she had to take over the running of the business all of a sudden out of nowhere. But she was kind of always involved in the conversation, so it wasn't that big a jump. But she had to go in there and roll her sleeves up and start doing the work. And what started to happen was she started feeling really tired, overwhelmed, exhausted, kind of pissed off at the whole thing, really, because she wasn't interested in the business. She wasn't really, she just felt like she couldn't be herself in there. And she said that, you know, it was interesting. She went into the business and obviously her father was an amazing role model that she had. And, you know, she took the reins from him and, you know, started basically having relationships with clients and staff in the same way that he did. She started looking to try and get solutions and drive results in the same way that he did and the way that she kind of had been taught how by him. And although there was nothing wrong with the way he was doing it, it didn't really allow her to step into who she truly was. So she, after a while, she decided she hired a coach. And it wasn't a coach to help her to get the results in the business. It was actually a coach to help her to exit. So she had decided she'd had enough. And she got this, I mean, thankfully, she got this amazing coach. And this is the power of getting good coaching, right? The amazing coach she had asked her why she didn't feel passionate about the business. And she said, well, I just can't be myself here. I can't, I want to escape. I feel trapped. I feel overwhelmed. I'm exhausted. I'm not interested. All the rest. I think a lot of us women would feel that way. I know a lot of you out there are feeling the same way. And he asked her why she couldn't bring her passions into the business and why she had to do it the way that she was. So to cut a long story short, and you should probably listen to the interview to get more of this, but he helped her to see that the things she was really passionate about were kids and animals. And he taught her how to see that by bringing her passions into the business, she actually could realize more of her personal vision and get more of her true self to come out. So how do you bring kids and animals into a travel business, right? Well, she launched a side project and she launched a charitable side to the business. And it wasn't just a small thing. Like, it was a small thing, but she engaged clients, colleagues, you know, people in the industry. She rallied everyone around and they were building schools in Brazil. And, you know, this became the sort of driving mission behind growing the business. She also started to have different relationships with the people in that were working for her and also her client base. And she started to sort of have more authentic relationships and true to who she truly was. Now, this resonated a lot with me because I have to admit, you know, working in trading floors like I did for 10 odd years, you do kind of have to be a bit of a man of woman. And I can remember being told so many times, you know, you're too emotional, you're too female. So you sort of shun that part of yourself. And then I went into an asset management sales role. And in that role, there was a lot more client relationship management and that sort of thing. And I found myself totally changing. It was an amazing experience for me because in order for me to, I was in a sales role. So in order to sell and for me to sell authentically, I felt that I really needed to get to the heart of the client that I was dealing with and get to the heart of the problem that they were facing so that then I could authentically and while being true to myself, sell them a solution that I knew was going to solve the problem that they had. So rather than this hard selling thing, it actually resulted in me having very, very close, deep relationships with my clients. And it catapulted my career, to be totally honest. It changed everything. I had people who really trusted me. I had people who really confided in me. I found it easy. I found winning deals a lot easier that way because I was more true. I was more open. I was more authentic. And actually what happened, and the same thing happened for Alessia, when we step into our feminine power like this, we actually get the results that we're looking for. When we fight it, you know, we actually lose our power. When we don't step into our authenticity, our femininity, you know, Alessia made the point that, you know, the world has enough men. We don't need more men. And actually what we need is more women who are powerful in their own energy. And what men need is more women who are powerful in their own feminine energy too. And interestingly, companies that do embrace both sides of this, you know, equation, the masculine and the feminine, studies have been shown that the results that they get are more sustainable and the profits are higher. And then the giving back and the impact and the influence is higher that these people have. So what I would say, you know, think about two things. If you're in your own business, why are you playing small? Are you playing small because you're afraid that playing larger means that you need to become a man of a woman? Or, you know, if you're not in your own business or you're just listening in a corporate role, maybe think about bringing more of yourself to the table. Allow more of your feminine energy out. And that's not about being a flirt or being, you know, we always think of these images of being somehow sexual or something. And it's not about that at all. It's about bringing the energies of intuition, trust, creation, connection, community, and all these really valuable, valuable traits of feminine energy to the table, and then watching things soar after you do. So I just loved that point from Alessia, and she's a shining example. I mean, she went on from almost leaving that business to, you know, having a $30 million empire and absolutely loving every minute of it. So she has much deeper relationships with her staff, with her clients, and with herself. And she's lit up inside. If you watch the interview, you'll see what I mean. She's gorgeous. So the next point she made, and I loved this as well, is your passion doesn't need to be your business, but you must bring your passions into your business. Now, what I love about that is everyone is on this roller coaster right now, running around looking for their purpose, trying to find their passion, you know, trying to launch a business. You know, this whole concept of do what you love and the money will come. And, you know, I just think that's a flawed thing to believe, because it's not quite as simple as that. But I asked her the question. So how this came up was I was interested to know, what happens if you're running an industrial widget business? So, for example, here in Australia, there's a big mining culture here. So what about if you're running a business where your client base are all miners out in the middle of nowhere and you happen to sell a widget into them? You know, how do you sort of, if you're not that passionate about it, how do you get around this problem? And I just loved the solution she came up with, and it's so aligned with my philosophy. She said, you know, once you align your business with your bigger vision of what your passion is, it brings you alive, and then you know what the business is for. So for example, you know, let's say that you're very passionate about, and something I'm quite passionate about, and I would love to, this would be my bigger vision, the whole concept of getting girls who are being sold into sex slavery out of that hellish situation. So how do we stop this problem globally, or how do we curtail it? You know, but the only way that I can really get in there and roll my sleeves up and actually make a difference is if I have the resources to do it. So business is an amazing, amazing tool with which you can, drive your bigger vision forward. So if you're in a sort of a, like I said, an industrial widget business or something that you're not that passionate about, how do you bring your passion into the business? How do you align your business vision with your personal vision and what personally lights you up inside? And this is something in my programs, and I talk a lot about on my blog. I passionately believe you must start with your personal vision. Get clarity on what your personal vision for your life is, what your passions are, what lights you up inside. And then after that, you know, develop whatever business you're in, you know, develop a business vision that will fuel that and that is designed to fuel that rather than you just working for the man or you just, you know, working to keep the business going. And I think what you'll see then, by when you grow your business by connecting to a bigger vision, you actually will grow a much larger business and you won't be so scared to step up and make a lot of money, because all of a sudden it's not about the money. It's about the bigger vision. It's about the fulfillment. It's about the pushing humanity forward. How beautiful is that? How would you love to feel that way? So I want, you know, just step up and don't be afraid of larger businesses. You just got to be you and then connect your big, big, audacious vision with what your business, you know, the business is the engine. So, you know, we talked a lot about, you know, her five steps. You know, Alessia has this amazing five-step formula for showing, coaching women how to be a woman in power. And, you know, I talked about this word power because I looked at her website and thought woman in power. I mean, I like it, but it's a bit like the word money or wealth. These words, they kind of trigger interesting emotions in people. And power in particular has very, very masculine connotations. So I asked her about this and I said, how do you be a woman in power but still maintain your femininity when you have this kind of belief that power is connected to a man? So we sort of shun power like we shun money and we shun wealth because we think all these things are very masculine. But what she said was a woman actually loses her power when she tries to act like a man. So if you're out there feeling like you're trying to be a man of a woman to succeed, you're driving yourself into the ground, you're totally overwhelmed and you're just feeling not lit up at all inside, well, then you've actually lost your power. You have actually given up your power for whatever it is you're doing. And what Alessia said, and I totally agree with this, the more feminine that we are, the more powerful we are. Because when we step into our feminine energy as women, when we step into what is true to us and what we know, intuitively know how to do and what we're good at, That is when we step into our power. And that is when we become leaders. And I guess the pinnacle of what Alessia teaches and coaches women to do is to step into leadership. And what does leadership mean for them? So, you know, I know that so many things resonated with me because it's interesting. I really want to be a leader, obviously, for women in the wealth space. And to be a leader, I mean, it's this whole thing of stepping into your feminine power. And to be a leader in the wealth space is an interesting thing as a woman, because I look, had a look out there, and every wealth speaker and coach, I mean, there's a lot of women out there, and no offense to anyone listening, but it's still a very masculine culture. It's still a very masculine driven thing. So when it came to putting my website together, I wanted my website, which is energizewealth.com, if you want to go and have a look at it, I wanted it to scream femininity. I wanted it to immediately appeal to women the minute they land on the site. So it's clean, it's beautiful, it's sophisticated but pretty at the same time. And actually it looks a bit like a Tiffany's box, which I, you know, is that whole sophistication I wanted to have in there. And I guess that's me bringing the true me and everything about me to the table. And it's putting myself out there and being raw and stepping into my own feminine energy in this particular wealth space, which is still such a masculine place. And I feel more powerful. I have to say, the response I've gotten from people has been phenomenal. People love the site. They love what's going on there. They love that it's like a magazine. It's like all about women, but yet the messaging is so powerful in there. And I have women who are beautiful, feminine, but powerful on my Feminine Wealth TV show. And I've deliberately done that. I've deliberately skewed it towards this femininity angle, because I really firmly believe that as women, if we do want to step into leadership, if we do want to take a seat at the table to create massive impact and global change, if we want to create true, true wealth, our feminine power and our feminine energy is where the secret lies. The secret lies there. So I want to leave you on that point for this week. And as always, if you enjoyed the show, please do leave a review, leave a comment wherever you are. You might be watching it on Stitcher, Podomatic, we're on Streaker as well, or iTunes. And if you could subscribe to the show and leave a review, it would be really awesome, because it helps me to get the show into the hands of more people if you do that. Also, I've started a Google Hangout every Friday, Sydney, Friday morning, Sydney time, 9 a.m., which is LA, I think it's like 6 o'clock in the evening in LA, and then a bit earlier in New York. So I think in the UK, it's probably out for you guys, but there's always a recording. And on there, I've been talking about the 10 wealth blocks for women when it comes to wealth. So it's been a really interesting time. So if you want to sign up for that and get the reminders about that, go to energizewealth.com/live, L-I-V-E. Okay, so that's it for this week. Come back and join me next week. Next week, I've got another very inspiring girl on the show, Lisa Messenger from the Renegade Collective. How good a name is that? Renegade Collective is a magazine that has gone, it's in 50 countries around the world now. It's just right up there, right beside Vogue, Marie Claire, and it's only 18 months old. And Lisa Messenger is a great girl from Sydney who pulled it off, and she understands the power of leverage. So be sure to tune in next week, and I'll see you then.
Thanks for tuning in. Come and join us on energizewealth.com to continue the conversation. Get your free video training, 7 Steps to Energized Wealth, and watch the video interviews that were the inspiration behind this episode.